I don't even know where my microphone is to try to make noise into it.
Hey, y'all. This is the Anchor Infertiles. This is Kaylee.
This is Corey.
Corey's in Vegas.
And Emily. Hi, guys.
Emily! Pew, 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 pew! Yeah, flam. Okay, so someone recently, I went to drag brunch and they were trying to do the few, 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 but it was really poorly done. And I was just buzzed enough to correct them every time. So I was like, few, 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 few. Not like, few. Like, this isn't like a fucking Star Wars gun. Like, what the fuck?
I love that whole scenario.
Glad you stepped in there. That much needed.
Yeah, they were definitely like, this fucking bitch, you know? Anyways, Emily and I met on Instagram. She's Womanhood 102. She has a crazy fucking story. She's also a boss ass business bitch that just like runs her shit. She is a world traveler. She's everything we wish we could have been when we were kids.
Oh.
But more. If you were, you know, an aspirational female.
I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Did you really?
That's awesome.
Until I found out that involved actually like not just petting animals all day. It's not just snuggles and cuddles and puppy dog kisses all day.
No, that school's like fucking hard. And you don't get paid shit for it. I'm drinking a Truly. Emily, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking wine. Real wine. My fave.
I love that big ass glass.
Yeah, that is.
I have the whole bottle just in case I need to refill during this.
Fabulous.
Okay. So smart.
It's thinking ahead. Corey, yeah. You want to tell us what you're drinking?
Right now. I am drinking a daiquiri.
She's been drinking this morning.
I have had a mimosa, and I was the only one that drank at breakfast. I had a mimosa. I had this like 32-ounce. It was called Poolside Limeade. And it was just this big old cup of happy. I had this. Actually, that's all I've had today. So,
oh my God, you're basically sober.
Yeah.
Essentially sober.
Yeah, you do. I wish that we really need to have some sort of infertile reunion in Vegas and like everyone just get fucked up.
My God. How amazing would that be?
Yeah, like we can plan some events and like you can go, you don't have to go. Like I'm not about making people do things, but definitely having options, like planning kind of itinerary where you could choose whatever you want to do. And it's kind of like that infertile AF summit that was supposed to happen but never fucking happened.
Yeah. That would be so amazing. Just to like get to see all these faces we interact with all the time. Like how freaking cool would that be? And we'll be like instant best friends the moment we meet in person.
I know. I've met Corey, Marty, Blair, and I'm meeting Alex, pursuing fatherhood. And when I met Blair, I was like, wait, what? Like I just thought everyone was as short as I am, besides Marty. I thought she was taller than me and she was my exact height. Like I had all these assumptions, but it would be like fucking magical. And it would probably be like the most annoying way to bombard the strip. Cause we'd just be like screaming about dicks and vaginas and like just being crude. We'd have to have we could call ourselves the clitorati and we all have like clitoris pins.
Oh my God.
We could do it. Yeah. These are just brainstorming. Anyways,
like we should down and maybe come back to them and like make it a reality. I think.
Yeah, yeah, we really should. I've been talking to Olivia about this and Audrey about and Corey, obviously, but like Corey is a given whenever I'm talking about anything I'm doing. and they were like, "We really need to do this. Like, this might be group fucking therapy that we all need is just to get trash together and have fun."
Yeah.
So we should do it. All right, Emily, give us your lowdown. Give us your intro. Give us like the craziness that you've been fucking going through, of which I've been following very intimately because now I'm copying everything that you do.
Oh my gosh. It's definitely been a journey. And it's crazy because like I know you guys have probably been on this journey longer than I have. And like, I can't imagine that. Like, I think we're coming up on year two and I'm like already done. So kudos to you guys for like hanging in there because this shit is just hard. I'm actually 7 years older than my husband. So when we got married, I was like, we have to try for babies immediately because I'm old. We just need to get into it. And so we got married like almost 2 years ago in August and got pregnant right away. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And you think like all of those things that like in hindsight, how big of an asshole does that make you? Like, oh my God, thank God I didn't have trouble getting pregnant, like all of these things. And then a week later, you know, I learned what a chemical pregnancy was and then started talking to my friends about it and come to find out everyone has had a chemical pregnancy or an early loss or struggled to get pregnant. And I'm like, kind of pissed off at my friends for not talking more about this. You know what I mean? And like, that's the first time I remember thinking, wow, there's this whole like side to being a woman that I literally knew nothing about and no one's talking about it. Like, it really pissed me off. And you know, your doctor tells you it's normal, just keep trying. So we tried again, got pregnant right away, went in for betas, everything was great, but we ended up losing that like 7.5 weeks. So of course, like in hindsight, this is like the moment in my journey that I'm like, I wish would have gone differently. Our OB was like, let's run a reoccurring pregnancy loss panel. I'm like, okay, great, let's do it. So we did it, and one of my levels came back super high, and he was like, you know, I actually don't know what this means, so I'm going to refer you. And if that OB had known about reproductive immunology, I think it would have saved us like a year and failed IVF cycles, but he didn't know any better, and he sent us to an RE. And, you know, like an RE just wasn't where we needed to go, so we spent the next year like doing all of the tests and like had a septum removal and all of the things, and we had another kid.
I think it's great that he recognized that, though. He didn't like, oh, okay, I'm going to just try to like put you on this medication. Like, at least they were able to like,
he was honest.
Recognize. Yeah. I can appreciate that, even though maybe they didn't know exactly where to send you.
Yeah.
I can appreciate somebody being like, I'm not sure. So I'm going to send you to somebody I think will actually be able.
That's actually a really great point that I actually never gave him credit for. So thank you for that.
But also, if he doesn't know anything about it and just throws you off to a reproductive endocrinologist, like, did he actually do any research? Or is he just like throwing you to like the next tier of difficulty? Yeah. Like, but you're right. He admitted it, which is nice. I think a lot of doctors don't.
Yeah.
Like,
they won't admit that, like, oh, I have shortcomings.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Right.
So it's probably because I know too much now. And in retrospect, I'm like, damn it. Sure. Did you send me to the right place? Like, I would have saved so much time and heartache on this journey. But, you know, we dealt with all of the things. And eventually our doctor was like, oh, you know, let's just do IVF. So we did 3 egg retrievals. We got 1 embryo out of 3 egg retrievals because I didn't respond to the medicine. And then after that, I'm like, literally F this. I'm so over this. The only way we've had any kind of success or whatever, big air quotes there, is like trying on our own. So we went back to trying on our own. This was last November. Got pregnant right away. And we went in for betas. They were pretty low. So we kind of knew that it was going to be another loss. And at that point, I was like, you know what? Like, something is clearly wrong. This is our 4th loss. Like, something's not adding up. And I remember a friend of mine, Lillian, was like, maybe you should see a reproductive immunologist. And I was like, oh, tell me more.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
There's only 4 in the country. And you're like, what?
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That makes sense why you went all the way to Detroit for that now. But like,
it's like Braverman, the guy in Chicago.
It's a woman.
Wait. Oh, it's a woman? Yeah. Fuck, I should have gone to her. Fuck. Durbala, and then it's like Vildali or something?
Vildali, yeah, in California, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's it. Yeah. Is it just a newer thing or?
Yeah, I guess. And it's not like, not everyone like recognizes it, you know? Like, you'll talk to REs and they're like, that's literal crap. Like, there's no scientific backing. And you're like, really? But
there's no scientific backing to what you're doing either.
I know. It's like, well, where's your research coming from?
Like, yeah, because you still say this is just like an art, you know? Right. Every time it fails, they're like, well, this isn't an exact science. Well, it's like, okay, then you're how much more like exact than reproductive immunology? Like, I'm not understanding the deviations here.
Yeah.
And like with REs, they're like, we're going to use your body as trial and error.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fact.
Cool.
Like, yeah, and then they throw shit at you. Like, yeah. It was really interesting, not to hijack this for a minute, but it was really interesting to me that my next step was Lovenox. Like, a lot of Lovenox, more Medrol, and more, like, all these things. Yeah. All of which will be a recommendation based off my tests from my reproductive immunologist, but from my endocrinologist, my RE, it would have just been like, meh, it worked for some people, so we're just going to throw this out there. There's no reason behind it.
No, there really like, the fact that they print the same protocol document out of Microsoft mm-hmm. Word and just hand it to everybody, put it through their yep. fucking 80-year-old Xerox machine and hand it over to me, and they're like, this is what we're going to do for you, and I'm like, this is what you do for everybody. Somebody just...
yeah.
This is fresh off the copier.
Yeah.
This is not science. You're giving me the same thing. And you're essentially using me as like a test, because it's like, I'm going to use the same thing on all these different people and I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if it works on you.
Right? And then experiment.
Because it should.
Yeah. It might. And then the interesting thing is, in reproductive endocrinology, you're hedging your bets on like just throwing shit at you.
Yeah.
Instead of it being informed. And I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, wait, so I would have spent another $5,000 on a transfer just to transfer it. I would have spent probably around $3,000 on or $4,000 on the meds. I would have all those belly injections, all those pills, all these steroids during COVID, all this shit with no fucking logical reason to do that. Like, that's not fucking science, bro. That's not how you do science.
Ooh, I know. You guys are making a lot of good points right now that I can't wait to throw at my RE on Friday, which is the last day I have to ever see that asshole.
Fuck yeah. So I was going to say that fucking asshole. Good,
so you can just hit play. You don't even have to try to remember it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I'll just leave him with this. And like,
Here's my goodbye present, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So one thing to mention in all of this, because I've followed your journey very intimately since I think it was like, well, we were doing IVF around the same time.
We were.
Yeah. And
messages, I'm like, how the F do I do this freaking spot?
Yeah. Oh my God, your mom giving you a shot on the side of the highway or whatever was like the best fucking content I could have asked for. It was amazing. But he says to you, this is what I thought was really interesting. He says to you that all these failed IVFs is due to your like shitty egg quality.
Yeah. Yeah. Like literally for the past year, you guys, I've had a doctor. And so it's funny the things you value on this journey, right? At the beginning of this journey, I was like, I want a doctor who can get me in the quickest because I want to go to town. Like I want to get this done. And whoever will take me first, that's the winner. Yeah. And I spent the last year with this winner telling me that the reason that all my IVF cycles and all of my miscarriages, they failed because I have shitty eggs because I'm old, is basically what he's telling me, right? And so my AMH is actually normal. I had normal antral follicle count. Like I'd have 25 antral follicles, but like only 3 would develop. And I'm like, something isn't adding up here. And so like, that's why I was like, I have to go see a reproductive immunologist. And so we like put everything on hold, like after our loss in January. And I was like, we're going to go do all the tests. We're going to see all the things because something's wrong here. And lo and behold, my clinic called me and they were like, hey, your HCG is 0. Like, expect to get a period soon. I'm like, great. And, you know, like, this is hard on relationships. And my husband and I, you know, we hadn't had sex in a while. So it was like, great. Like, HCG is 0. Everything's great. We're going to have sex. So we had sex. And 2 weeks later, I found out that I was fucking pregnant again.
What the fuck? Yeah.
So in the middle of like figuring out that I want to get all these tests done, something's clearly wrong, we need to see Durbala, I literally got pregnant again. And at this point, it's like one of the things that like when I see a positive pregnancy test, it is like sheer absolute terror. Like it's just, it's awful because I know where it's going to lead for us. And it was just.
Yeah. All it's done is trauma to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so.
So how often are you, do you like tell your family about this, or are you like one of the people that keeps it all to yourself?
I'm like a huge blabbermouth. I tell them about everything. I'm sure my dad follows me on Instagram, which I'm like, I don't know, Dad, is this like,
is this weird? I don't know.
I don't know. But
so like, how many times do people tell you, oh, well, you're obviously fertile. It's going to happen. Like, do you get those comments all the time?
All the time.
Because I feel like it sounds like you would.
yeah, like at least you can get pregnant. I'm like, you have no idea how much trauma that causes me. Yeah. Like,
so
equals miscarriage.
I was one of those people that was like, at least they know they can get pregnant. I had only gotten pregnant once before, and I didn't even know if it was really I couldn't afford a pregnancy test at the clinic. And they were like, well, we can do all these tests. I didn't have health insurance. I was freshly 21. I was like, no. The only thing I need to figure out is like, I ended up having like a huge immune response to the miscarriage and got really sick. Anyways, when I started this journey and I saw people getting pregnant, I was like, oh, well, you have a smidge of hope. And then I got pregnant. And then I wasn't pregnant. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, line in the sand. I have never been more outraged in like a very like visceral primal level. Like, I was just like, I could kill somebody.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking bullshit. Yep. And there's still a little bit of hope that you'll find an answer. And your doctors also say, oh, you got pregnant, so at least there's that. Like, they also say that.
Yeah, they do.
Like, but am I going to stay pregnant? Am I going to lose this baby traumatically? Would I rather lose it now than later? Like,
right.
I don't want a fucking 12-week miscarriage.
They become so desensitized to it. Like, you're just a number, and they see people every day who have lost people, and they're like, well, this is what this means, and you're going to be fine. And it's like, do you even have any kind of idea what is going on in my brain right now, or between me and my husband, or me and my friends that I'm not seeing right now? Like, do you care at all about anything?
I don't think they do.
No, they don't. I don't think they don't. And this is why we should have a social worker assigned to us when we start this shit.
That's an amazing idea. Because a lot of the times, I mean, I feel like I'm just a number and I'm like money to them, you know?
Yeah.
Your paycheck.
Especially when everything they recommend is just at a cost to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, is this not a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
Like, where is also that ethical boundary there?
I know.
You get pregnant again. Oh, sorry.
What? I haven't felt like a human and not like a paycheck since the very beginning when my OBGYN put me, she like got me free fucking Clomid. Like, got me free Clomid. And then after the emergency surgery that I had, she went to them and I don't know what she did, what kind of voodoo magic or deal with the devil she did, but she had all of my emergency bills waived.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. That's such a human thing to do.
Right?
Wow.
She's in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not felt so cared about since.
Wow.
Yeah.
And like, what an impact that made on you, right? And like, holy crap. I wish there were more doctors like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all like overseas and Doctors Without Borders shit. Like, people that are doing it for the right reasons.
Come back to this border.
You know, he's like, over here. Come hang out with us. We need you.
I need you to fix my vagina. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, Emily, you get pregnant and then you go to Durbala.
Yeah. So I like
crazy.
I contacted him and apparently he was like, oh, this has happened before, but I'm not going to see you until 5.5 weeks. And so here I am like freaking out.
Yeah.
And so we fly up there and I go to Durbala and like I had like very limited, like low blood flow to my uterus, but I was already on Lovenox. So that was like terrifying. And then after that, he was like, all I can do is like go off your past labs because it's going to take like 2 to 3 weeks to get labs back. And so he sat me down and he had a very honest conversation with me. He was like, this is going to be 50-50. A lot of the stuff that we need to do, you need to do beforehand. And it's going to be a game of catch up. Like, it was so hard, you guys. Like, I was on PIO. I was on Lovenox twice a day. I was on estrogen patches and pills. I was on PIO, or not PIO, but progesterone oral. And then I was also on prednisone. And it was just so much. But we made it furthest we've ever made it. We made it to 8.5 weeks. We heard a heartbeat, which has never happened before. And then we ended up having to get a DNC because the baby ended up, like, getting smaller and the heartbeat had stopped. And I told Durbala what happened and he said to me, no matter what you do, Emily, get genetic testing. That's all I asked. get genetic testing. And I was like, okay. So I told my RE, I need genetic testing. And as I was like about to go into my DNC, he like asked me again. He was like, are you sure you want to do genetic testing? We already know that this is an abnormal embryo and genetic testing is really expensive. Are you sure you want to do it? And I just remember Debrella being like, get genetic testing. And so I was like, yeah, I want genetic testing. And it came back that it was actually a normal girl, which further proved that like what Debrella was saying, it's like my body's kind of response to all of this that's making it worse. And my RE's first response was to sit me down because I couldn't wait to be like, fuck, you were wrong, you asshole. It's not my egg.
Yeah.
Asshole. I can't wait to shove this in your face. And the first thing he told me was, so here's all the ways that this test can actually be incorrect with its finding. And I was like, all right, that's it. I'm out. You were such a dick. Yeah. And I'm out. So
yeah, we're done here.
Yeah, we're done here.
Wow.
All right. But yeah, it's been a journey. And like, it's just so much, you guys. Like, how do we do this and hold down full-time jobs and like be human?
Oh, it's fucking bullshit. Also, I find it so interesting at how your doctor is just like, nah, it's abnormal. Don't even fucking bother. Yeah. And it's like, is this in some weird way like confirmation bias and you're not actually looking at what could be the problem? Like now you're constantly in defensive mode because you're not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not good enough at being my doctor. And then I find out, then to find out, like, here's the other thing. And this is something that like I probably would recommend to people that could hold out is knowing the sex of it makes it so much harder.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Knowing that I like had a vision, like I envisioned this little girl growing in my uterus. And I was just like, come on, like we'll name her this if she makes it, you know, like it makes her feel more real.
Totally.
And she's fucking not. Like, and I don't know, how did you feel after figuring out like what was the grieving process like after that?
Like, to be honest, I'm not even sure I've like fully grieved it. Like, I remember when they called me and told me it was normal because in my mind, he had just been telling me for a year that it was my eggs and we can't make normal embryos. And we didn't test any of our other losses because of that, because he told us that and he was so sure. And when they called me, I froze. I'm like I usually know how to like handle things, but that wasn't even in my like subset of what could happen. Like, it wasn't a scenario I ever played out in my head of it being normal. And so, you know, I think I carry a lot of that. And I think the other hard thing is knowing that since it was normal, it is my body. And like, you know, like to be a mom, like your job and your role is to protect. And the fact that I couldn't even do that, like it feels dirty. Like it feels awful. And so, you know, I'm meeting with a new therapist next week because I don't, you know, to be honest, I don't think I've worked through a lot of it. I move on and I get back with my life, but I don't think I've actually grieved a lot of it.
Well, it's also, you're part of the machine at that point. You keep grinding to the next step and like, what should I do now? And what should I do now? And that makes you feel like you're in some way in control of what your inevitable success will be. And so you feel like you're making steps towards it. Right. And then when you're forced to have a pause, it's like, I don't know. For me, I was forced to have a pause after this last, because I was like, this is stupid. We're just going to do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. You're a fucking moron. Like, I'm not paying you money. Like, and then he suggested another round of IVF. And I was like, suck a dick. I have 5 PGS normal embryos just sitting in a fucking cryo freezer. And you want me to do another IVF, which would be around $22,000 with you. How is that not a conflict of interest? Like, you're like, fuck you, fuck this, fuck everything. Like, I got really fucking mad. And then I had been thinking about reproductive immunology for a while, just be it how Operation Baby Bump Candace, she went to Braverman. And she went through a million tests just like we did. And they were like, you have severe endo, and removed it. She got pregnant. Well, and she had done 5 embryo transfers at that point, I think. And I was like, but that's her story. Like, at this point, I don't fit in that fucking bucket. Like, that's awesome for you. Really happy for you. But you almost hit this analysis paralysis. Like, it's never going to work for me. And I've analyzed everything every which way. I've played out all these scenarios. And like, this just might not work out for me at all. And this fucking sucks. Yeah. And then when I went to, and this brings up what you experienced as well. We have a similar diagnosis when it comes to blood flow. that Doppler ultrasound was done to me back in July. He said, oh, you have optimal blood flow, blah, 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 blah. Your arteries, look at it, blah, blah, blah. Well, that was like a snapshot. They do like a 30-minute fucking Wanda visit where like I felt like I was on the joystick. You know, I was just like, Jesus Christ. Like,
it's so true.
And like she's trying to talk to you, but my legs started cramping. My knees were sore from like keeping my legs spread out and my butt cheeks were sore like for that fucking long. Yeah. And nervous because I also know what's about to happen. And I've experienced nothing but trauma to this area of my body besides like the micro moments where I have an orgasm, you know, because my sex life has plummeted through all this. And he was like, yeah, you don't have optimal blood flow. And I was like, what the fuck do you fucking mean? I don't have optimal blood flow. I got this fucking ultrasound done last year. He was like, yeah, he's looking at your arteries, not the small vessels.
Oh my God.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
He's like, you might just have really thick blood, or you might have that mutation where you have to do Lovenox, which is like antiphospholipid something, something.
Yes. Yeah.
So is that what you have?
Yeah, that's what I have.
Damn.
So that number that my OB drew and didn't know what to do with is like a classic symptom of APS.
Wow. But
really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, if he had just sent me to an RI and knew about it, like we would have skipped all that IVF and all that stuff. But yeah, it's a classic symptom of APS. And it's Lovenox. But what's really important, Kaylee, that I'm learning is it's not even about Lovenox. It's about when you start Lovenox. And so all these protocols that are like, okay, start Lovenox on day 15 after you ovulate, like that's not actually right. The timing is based on like you and like your findings. And so for me, I would actually start Lovenox on day 6 of a cycle, which would prep my uterus and my blood to actually receive an embryo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Wow.
Like in the building of your lining.
Yes.
In that phase.
Right.
That
and so it's all based on you. Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. So do you mind sharing some of your other information you found out from Dubrala so far?
Yeah. I only really know like my stuff, but I've learned a lot. I have 4 blood clotting factors. So there are different blood clotting factors that you can have. And like the more you have is the more Lovenox you need. Like, so 1 dose of Lovenox is just preventative and like 2 doses is actually a clinical dose. And so it's like a difference on what you need based on how many like, you know, blood clotting factors you have. I have something called PAI1. Like, I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point. It's like things that I've learned and I'm like, why do I know these things? You know, like
PAI1.
Yeah. I don't know if you've got that back yet, but it means that it's a gene mutation. And so if you have it, you're more like prone to diabetes. And so they'll put you on metformin to offset the chances of getting diabetes when you go on prednisone when you're doing like.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So wait, was that from Quest or was that from the special clinic?
I think that was from the special clinic.
Okay. I haven't gotten that back yet, but I am insulin resistant based off of his analysis. He was like, you obviously have PCOS because you have 48 resting follicles, like antral follicles. My AMH is through his lab was 6.7. So it's still pretty fucking high. Definitely in the PCOS category. It used to be when I was trying naturally, which I thought was really interesting, and I wasn't on any sort of birth control, it was like set, or it was 9.6 or something. Wow. So it was really, really high. And through IVF and birth control, it went down to 4.3. And like, it just keeps like bouncing around all the time. But when it comes to this, okay, so do outside of reproductive systems, what kind of impacts do these blood clotting issues have on your general health?
So that's what I'm like trying to figure out. And I remember like when I first found this out, like way early on, I went to an immunologist and a hematologist because I'm like, clearly there's something wrong here. And a lot of people were like, well, it actually doesn't impact a lot of your daily life. Like you have a chance of having a stroke earlier, which I'm like, isn't that concerning? Like, I don't know. Like,
what kind of a big deal
something for this? So Not much. And I think it's interesting too that like people don't recognize that it has a huge impact on like reproductive health, but maybe doesn't actually affect the rest of your like life. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been wondering something along those lines when it comes to like how hard my heart has to work to like pump. Cause he was like, if you have really thick blood, you should probably just be on like baby aspirin the rest of your life. And I'm like really not into taking pills that don't, you know, fuck up your head a little bit with some psychedelics. So I'm like, I'm more into, you know, how can I holistically change this? Like, yeah. Are there things that I can integrate into my diet or something like that?
Yeah.
But I find it really interesting that these aren't standard practice. Like the blood that was drawn isn't standard practice for doing IVF in fucking general, be it how much we fucking pay. And not to mention,
and they're already taken
covered by insurance.
They take,
yeah, they're already taken. Oh my God.
So much blood.
Right? Like, how hard would it be to run these labs? Like, I don't get it.
Not at all.
And, a little harder.
And did he ask you? So when I went into Durbala, he was like, have you been tested for celiacs? Oh, Lee's microwaving something. Can you hear it?
No.
You don't have to apologize. I just like to bring it up. He's like,
Harley.
Oh shit. Everyone says hi, babe. He was like, okay. He went like this.
Okay.
He's trying to be quiet. It's really cute. He was like, has anyone tested you for celiacs? And I was like, I'm not even fucking kidding you. I'm not even fucking kidding you, man. That was the first thing I fucking asked when I started IVF. Can I get tested for celiacs? Can I have a comprehensive thyroid panel? Because both my parents have Hashimoto's. So I was like, thyroid issues are coming in. And he said, no, it doesn't fucking matter. And he was like, oh, well, we'll do TSH and free T4. And I was like, well, I need to know T3, reverse T3. Like, you know, there's a comprehensive thyroid panel is imperative for you to have like a functioning reproductive system. Anyways, I'm sorry, I'm getting work IAMs and I'm like, eat a dick. Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was really interesting. He's like, okay, well, that might be something that we want to test for depending on how your like inflammatory markers come back. And I was like, why are you doing more than anyone else has ever done? And you're my first RI, but I'm on my fifth RE.
Right.
Like, why aren't you guys working together and collaborating?
Yeah.
If it's not a fucking exact science, why the fuck is it covered by insurance, but IVF isn't?
That's a really great question.
You know, a healthcare system would have you pay a premium if they didn't believe in it, like acupuncture and shit like that. But be it that I have more coverage with my RI than my RE, the only thing that's keeping me with my RE is my goddamn fucking embryos.
Yeah.
Because I have those little things frozen down there, stuck in his fucking refrigerator, you know? Anyways, this is me decompressing via Truly. So he's like, you need to be. So what are some other things outside of the blood clotting issues?
Oh, I had, what was it? Anti-ovarian antibodies. Have you guys heard of this?
No,
I only from you.
Has yours come back yet?
Yeah. It's from Quest. Right?
Live?
Yeah. So I didn't have anything good besides insulin and MTFHR. I'm disappointed. To be honest.
But you're waiting for the other ones, right?
Yeah. I'm waiting for like the real geeky shit.
That's the real geeky ones. Yeah. So I have anti-ovarian antibodies, which I had no idea what that was. And apparently, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know a lot about this. Like I probed Durbala on it and he like really wasn't like, that's the thing about RI, like RE, like I finally understood like IVF, like I understood like different protocols and like you can kind of like figure out what they're talking about and you know the process. But with RI, like half the time I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about and I'm not going to be able to Google this later because there isn't a lot on it. And so, but apparently it means like it affects your egg count or quality. I'm not 100% sure. Durbala said it could be both, but the doctor I talked to on Monday, she said the only thing that she disagreed with Durbala is she would have handled the anti-ovarian antibodies different because she actually thinks that's a very big deal. And she said that it affects egg count, which I guess would make
sense
if I'm not making a lot of like follicles. So
yeah, if you have a lot of antral follicles and you're stimming and you're only getting like 3 eggs, that means that something is preventing those eggs from being like recruited into your antral follicles, which is most likely some sort of antibody. Like your body's attacking it.
Exactly.
That makes complete sense. Yeah.
And you guys, this is like a quest test that any doctor could do. And like, again, I don't know why it's not done. I told my RE that I tested positive for it, and his such a jackass. His response was, yeah, that's a thing, but like, you can't do anything about it. And meanwhile, I've had two doctors tell me that there's two different approaches to like actually get it to go negative. So it's just, it's so frustrating. But I learned about that. So people listening, like, just have your RE check for anti-ovarian antibodies. It's a quest test and you can do it so easily.
Wait. So he goes out there and in the love in the time of COVID saying you can't do anything about antibodies, where we're like mass producing a fucking vaccine to shoot antibodies into our body within like 2 years of research. And you're telling me that this can in no way be approached by science?
But also, so, okay. So maybe let's play devil's advocate and say, okay, there's nothing you can do about this one thing, but it can, knowing this can change my course of action dramatically. Yeah. It can change me giving you tens of thousands of my fucking dollars for no results. So while maybe you can't cure this real quick, maybe it's still something that I need to know about myself to consider how I'm going to proceed. You fucking dick.
That has to be so bad for you.
Yeah.
Why isn't that addressed by an ethics board for IVF? Like that, that's, I'm not going to lie, that kind of seems like a lawsuit you have on your hands. Like, it seems like you could bring that. Well, I mean, you can't get your money back because it was paid for by your insurance. Yeah. But like, you could have like
a case for anything. I think anything can be argued anytime. So yes.
Yeah, Corey will be your lawyer.
I love that, Corey. I love to argue. So
vile. Same. Okay, so he says like this is all bullshit. How do you keep a straight face when you're talking to your RE?
I don't think I do. Like I just like, I kind of sit there and I like laugh because in the back of my head I'm like, I really don't give a shit what you say anymore. Like I know that like I have a whole like another team that's like ready to go for bat. And you know what's crazy? The other day is I was talking to someone who I didn't even know. And I was talking about how much I hated my RE. And she was like, oh, you're at so-and-so clinic. And I was like, yeah. She was like, I am too. We must have different doctors. We had the same freaking doctor.
Oh, fuck.
And he never pushed IVF on her. Like when she was explaining him, he was so kind and understanding. And she had had losses too. And like, I literally told her, I was like, I feel like we're talking about two different doctors. Like his response to me was always pushing donor eggs, always pushing IVF. And like,
is she more relaxed than you, less type A?
I mean, I don't know her that well, but like, I don't know.
I feel like, I'm not gonna lie. Does everyone on this call is kind of got, right? no, but we're all kind of got like alpha like qualities, right? Like we come in and we're like, this is our fucking shit. We run this. And that makes their dick shrivel real small. And like, I think that there is something to be said. Like I even had an RE tell me I'm just too type A to get pregnant.
Oh my God.
And if I just quit, then I would most likely just get pregnant. Oh. And I was like, look me in the eye, motherfucker. Do I look like a fucking quitter to you?
Yeah. I mean, like
but I can't even quit ice cream. Yeah. Oh,
now it just feels like a challenge.
Oh, I lost my fucking shit and was escorted out of that doctor's office. But what I'm saying is like, I think sometimes while they say that they, while they don't approach us like humans and feel our grief or address our grief, they also feel our energy and are just like, meh, I'm just going to fuck her up just a little bit. Like, I do feel like there's some sort of spiteful God complex, and this might just be because I've only dealt with male doctors. I have literally only had male REs. Yeah. And I think they don't, like, my husband was like, you know, you ask really difficult questions. And I was like, would it be difficult if I'm a man asking these questions to him? Or would he respect that thought process and that brainstorming and critical thinking? Or is he just... Yeah, like I don't know. I feel like
sure, you have done your research and those are very good questions. Let me shake your dick while I answer them for you.
Yeah. Well, and two, I've had people that are like, oh, I went to CCRM. I had this doctor, Dr. Gefsison, who I had. And I was like, no, that guy's a fucking clown. I would never go back. and they had success with him and they liked him. Yep. But they also are very chill people that are not very mean. They don't talk fast, you know, they're just like, whatever. And I'm like, maybe I was too much for him. Like, there's a personality fucking issue when it comes to some of these 100%. Doctors.
Yeah. I mean, my doctor, I think he's like rated like one of the top doctors in Atlanta. So I'm like, what am I missing? Cause maybe it is. And maybe we just don't like click like that, because like I've personally just had terrible experiences with him. And I hear a lot of people who have had great experiences with him. And it's just like, I don't know where it comes in. I know, like, for me, I told them up front that like my insurance does cover IVF like a few times a year. And so I didn't know if that was why, like, that he was always pushing IVF on me, that like,
it was, he sounds like a scumbag.
Like, you know, like, I don't know. And I'm sure it's like my experience with him, because I'm just so jaded by the things that he said to me that I'm just like, no, I know you're wrong, but you're not listening to me. You're giving me any other options. So
yeah. I did send a list of learning opportunities to one of my doctors. So yeah, I outlined exactly why. Cause I was just like, I need this for therapeutic reasons. And also I want critical feedback from my clients, and inherently I'm a client cause I'm paying a premium for a service. Yeah. Right. So like, mm-hmm. I want people to tell me how I can do better. We need to be open to learning, especially in this age. And if you aren't, you're fucking canceled, motherfucker. Like, you need to be adaptive. And yeah, I did that. But he also like sent it to the other doctor, and the other doctor was like, I've heard you're difficult. And I was like, I'm gonna cut your dick off. So it's a double-edged sword. So now where are you at?
Now we're just like in this waiting game. I had like a hysteroscopy on Thursday, and they found like, it was with my doctor that I'm leaving, but it's fine. But, it was supposed to be 20 minutes just like check on the DNC, make sure everything was fine. And he actually found year old scar tissue that had been there. And so I didn't see that coming. Like, again, didn't have that in my like wheelhouse of things that could happen. So, that was a shocker. And so now I've found a new RE. He doesn't know this, and I'm not going to tell him, but like Friday will be the last day I have to see him. And I'm just going to like skip out of that place. Like, yeah. Nothing will happen. Yeah. But I found an RE who actually knows, Dr. KK, who taught Dr. Dabala. So she actually knows him, supports Dr. Dabala's protocol here on the ground in Atlanta. So I feel like I've finally like taken the time, put myself on the wait list. That in the beginning I was like, wait list? Like, who are these doctors? Like, who do they think I am that I have to sit on a wait list? And now I'm like, okay.
You're giving me those good mental health meds. Why the fuck do you have a wait list?
I know.
I'm not trying to get Adderall through you. Fuck off.
I'm like, wait list? Are you kidding me? And now I'm like, all right, it makes sense. Like, you're really good at what you do. And like, okay. So I've got like a good team in place, and it's just like, now we have to wait. I have to do another biopsy, and like, I have to wait. Everything has to calm down. And then, you know, we'll try again in like October maybe and see what happens. But to be honest, like, I've talked to my husband about this. This has been a lot, like 5 losses. Like, I wish I found an RI like 2 losses ago even, because it's just too much. And I think, you know, we're going to try one more time. And if it ends up in another loss, like, I think that's where we have to draw the line for mental health, for quality of life. And so feels kind of heavy, like, to feel like there's so much in this last try, but I'm making sure that I have everything in place to just give it like the best shot we've got.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's definitely heavy. I think we've been kind of talking, like, you know, we've mentioned doing like another round of IVF or looking into adoption, but like part of me really just feels like we've already finished it. Like, we've already gone as far as we're going to end up going. And it's hard to like accept and like,
yeah,
wrap your brain around, because it's something you wanted so bad that you put your body and your mind and your marriage and everything through so much to get, and you're coming out empty handed. It's really hard to like accept it.
1,000,000%. I totally understand what you're saying. And it's like, I think I'm kind of there with you. Like, I'm already not convinced, but I guess I'm just preparing myself for the fact that maybe this isn't going to work out like I want or I plan. And I'm the kind of person who like, I get what I want. And that sounds terrible. Like, I've gone after the things that I've wanted in life, you know, and to have to be the thing that I've like gone after, probably given the most I've given to anything in my life. And to, like you said, not get anything out of it at the end of it is like, holy crap. Like, really, it could happen. And it's scary.
Yeah.
It's a whole other level of feeling failure. Yeah. I've said it before. This is the thing. I've never worked at something and not achieved it.
Yeah.
I've never had an aspiration to do something and had anything be like an obstacle besides like work ethic. Right. And this was the first, and I approached this like that, which I think was what I wasn't prepared for as a lesson in this is I fucking read all the goddamn books. I annotated it. I listened to every podcast. I created like every, I researched the shit out of this thing. Yeah. I legitimately got like my bachelor's in like my reproductive system. And I would come prepared with like notes and citations to meetings. Like that's how fucking neurotic I was. But I was like, I'm going to fucking learn this. I'm going to fucking own this. I'm going to fucking crush this. I'm going to get so goddamn pregnant. You're going to even know what pregnant is.
I'm going to be the best at my pussy.
Yep. And I'm going to be the most pregnant person you've ever pregnant fucking seen.
Yeah.
You know? And then all of a sudden I was like, no matter, this isn't an indication of my work ethic. This isn't an indication of my intelligence. This has nothing to do with anything that I have control over. It's all over on this fucking thing. And that's when it was like really my come to Jesus moment of like, well, this is what failure feels like in a hopeless way.
Yeah.
And luckily like Durbrala has given me a bit of hope. And it's interesting though. I wonder if I was a little bit more lazy if I'd be where I'm at, you know, like sometimes I wonder if sometimes I am the obstacle to my success. If I am, because I'm grinding all the fucking time and I'm not chilling the fuck out and I'm not eating healthy and I'm not doing this, that, like I constantly come back to, all right, well, maybe I am the problem.
I'm definitely a little more lazy than you. I definitely eat worse than you. I definitely am not as active as you. So in a lot of ways, I am the opposite of you and I am here. So I'm going to go ahead and say none of that.
Yeah. Think about all the babies that are born. Like, no.
I know. I know.
It's not.
But there's a weird depression that comes with this. Yeah. Where you're like, oh my God, I've actually failed at this. And I mean, I have, to be honest, the weirdest thing is if I had no embryos right now, I'd be like, at least you have 5 embryos. And I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't. I wish there was a limit. But I have this like really long landing strip. Yeah. And I'm like, I want off this fucking thing already. You know, like I don't want to do this anymore. I want someone to be like, boundary here. Yeah. Yeah. Like I've already reached $55,000 fucking dollars. Right. I've already reached my limit of needles. I had a full blown panic attack on the biopsy table at Durbrala. I was shaking. Like, and usually my panic attacks are just vision, right? I was like vibrating and he could tell. And he was like, are you okay? And I was like,
no.
I am really mind over matter type of person. Like I have split my shin open and taken off my shirt and tied it and drove 2 hours to a hospital, right? Like I can fucking do anything. This, I don't think I can fucking do. This I'm having a lot of fucking trouble with right now. Can your nurse hold my hand? Like I'm really struggling. And he was like, oh, don't be scared. And it's like, don't. And then I get mad. Don't fucking say that. Let me go up your fucking urethra and fucking take out some of your fucking shit and have no pain relief and have you just sitting freely on a table with three other people.
Both of your testicles. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just give you a little colonoscopy and like scratch some shit out of there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just really pisses me off. Do you still have to get the biopsy with Durbrala?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know.
So it's going to be great. You're going to feel it.
Yeah, like everyone else fucking said to me, it's fine, it's not a big deal. And then I had my first ear.
And I'm like, okay, when I did like the saline test or whatever, I literally accidentally kicked the lady in the chest because like I was in so much pain that I just responded to like, kicked her in the chest. Yeah, it hurt so bad. And people are like, oh, the HSG is fine. So many people said it was fine. I was in tears screaming and I just reacted and like,
no, it's all, well, here's the thing too. And it's in a space that's never supposed to be touched from the outside. Like a baby grows in there and it comes out. Nothing like goes in.
I know.
And on a primal level, it is like you switch to your reptilian brain and you're like, get the fuck out.
That's
like,
fuck literally it. What happened.
Yeah. You can't fucking control it. I had to be held down during my HSG. I was like, the old lady was like, just breathe. And I was like, fuck. Like I was just, it was bad. And then I will say like,
my lady kept telling me to breathe. And then she was rubbing my leg. And I was very conscious of the fact that I hadn't shaved in weeks. She was just like, it's okay. It's okay. And I was very conscious of the fact that I haven't shaved. And I tried to pay attention to that more than what it hurt. And just have like normal anxiety over the fact that, oh, I have leg hair. It didn't work, but that's where my head
went up. No. Also, don't fucking touch me.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
I'm like, I'm already being severely violated. Please don't rub my goddamn
leg. I would have rather a handhold.
So here's the thing too that sucks. Yeah, the handhold was awesome. Like I was like, you guys, this should be part of every policy. Because another girl messaged me on Instagram and she was like, I wish I had the balls to ask for a handhold. And I was like, it doesn't take balls. It just takes like legit the inner child in me was like, I need someone to hold my hand. And I already had started crying. And, what was I going to say? So both times when I had my ERA, which is your endometrial receptivity analysis to see how much progesterone you may need if you're post or pre whatever implantation window. And both times I've had to have it done twice in the same setting because I push back like my whole body in the stirrups, right? My feet there. I'm just like, fuck this. And with Dibrala, I highly recommend this for anyone getting an ERA or anyone seeing an RI and having these tissue samples is ask them to count down from 10. So you know how long you have to last because it felt like 20 fucking minutes, but it was probably 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. And when he counted down from 10 and he was very honest about it, I was like, okay, I can make it. I'm at 3. Okay. I can make it. I'm at 2. Okay. I got this. I'm at 1. It's almost over. And then he did the hysteroscopy and that was like a fucking breeze. Like, and those are fucking painful. And the only part that sucked was that he had to like twist to get in a little bit because I really didn't want to be dilated because that fucking hurts. But yeah, it all fucking sucks. So then you do Dibrala. You have this new RE who's going to work with Dibrala.
Yeah.
So you like interviewed a bunch of REs to see if they would be open to it. How did that go?
So I was like very blatant about it. I was like, listen, I basically just need hands in Atlanta to like do whatever Dibrala needs me to do. I met with Emory here because they're a teaching hospital. I was like, for sure. They've got to be open to this like RI stuff, right? He was so against it. Like he was like, I don't agree with that and I wouldn't do that. And I was like, cool. And then he was like, so when do you want to schedule our next meeting so we can like get things rolling? And I like, this is when I got shy. I didn't like have the heart to tell him that he was fired or didn't even get the job. So I was like, yeah, we could schedule that. And I'm just never going to respond to their emails.
Oh my God. You're so cute. I'm such an asshole. I would be like, actually, because you're not willing to work with my reproductive immunologist, who's the only one that's given me any sort of answers and is actually doing tested and true science on me. I will not be seeking your services. Thank you very much.
I know. I wish I had it in me. He was actually like really nice. So I felt like really bad, like, you know, breaking it to him. So,
yeah, we'll do it. It should be a service for hire.
Dude.
Oh my God. This is like Corey and I's dream. Like we would just love to like be those people that are like, here's exactly why we're not gonna, she's not pursuing services with you. Like we should be the liaison. We're like in the skit with like Obama and his angry like narrator that
angry translator.
Key and Peele did.
Yeah.
Yep. We're that
a whole consultancy and just people hiring you to like send the emails we don't want to send.
Fuck yeah. Oh, or have the calls we don't want to have.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we'll handle it. We're gonna just thrive in this confrontation, and we will take complete.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, do you think that you'll be trying naturally moving forward? You think like IUIs and trying naturally will probably be your best bet, or just trying naturally?
Just trying naturally. I mean, that's been the only thing. We converted one IVF to an IUI, and like as easy as we've gotten pregnant, we didn't get pregnant from the IUI with like four
follicles. That's so weird.
Yeah. So I think we'll just stick to like what's worked for us, which is trying naturally, and then hopefully everything will help this one stick. I mean, because it's just like, I don't know what else to do at that point. And, you know, I'm going to talk to my therapist about like coming to terms with like what it means if it doesn't work, because I want to be prepared for like either outcome, like, you know. Yeah. And I even talked to work today about like potentially going on like short term,
disability.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when we, like if we get pregnant again, like to have that time and space to like really focus on, you know, getting to a safe point. So no. I'm trying to do all of the things. So if I look back and we don't have a child, if I look back, I can like know, because it's so hard to know when to draw the line, you know?
Yeah.
And this way I can like look back and say, okay, we literally tried everything and I feel comfortable with what we've tried. And that's where you draw the line.
You controlled what you can control. You did everything. Yeah. You can feel like some sort of that piece. Yeah. That makes complete sense.
How has your marriage dealt with this, by the way? Like, you guys seem to get along really well, your friends. And I know for me, through all this, because I'm such a control freak, I've been like, I got this. And he's like, are you sure you got this? And I'm like, don't fucking doubt me, bitch. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I don't got this. You know, like, I was just, I felt like I had to fight for the both of us. Mm. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I have nothing left in the tank.
Yeah.
Like I'm heartbroken on so many levels.
Yeah.
And I would ask him, are you heartbroken? He's like, no. And that helped me for some reason. He could be fucking lying to me, but that really helped that I'm at least not disappointing him. But yeah. I've only had a single failure in the time of trying to conceive, like a single loss. Like, how does a loss after a loss after a loss impact a marriage?
Oh, I mean, I like, my husband's great. And it was interesting when we were in Mexico and we were just like drinking all day at this all day, all inclusive resort. We were just drunk as shit. And like, he just started opening up about things. And like, I kind of broke down and I told him I felt responsible for like our losses, especially the recent one. It was normal. And like, that really means that it's my body that's failing us. And he broke down and kind of said that, you know, he definitely doesn't show emotion because he doesn't want me to feel like I have to carry his emotions too. And I was like, you know, that's interesting. And then I think my biggest thing is like, I always play this back in my head, like if he had married someone younger or someone different, like he would have children. And like, I know his parents want children and grandchildren and my parents want grandchildren. And I didn't even know that this happened, but he had sat his parents down and just said, listen, this is really hard on us. And like, there's a chance that like, we might not give you grandchildren. And I want you to come to terms with that now, because we're not going to do this for the rest of our lives. And I didn't even know he had that conversation. And that released so much pressure from me, like like I had to, you know, give his parents grandchildren or my parents grandchildren just to know that he took the initiative to like release that stress. It was like, he kind of knew what I needed without me even knowing what I needed.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, that's awesome. It's also interesting as being, I'm sure all of us on the phone here have like fought for ourselves our entire lives, right? Like we've always been the ones to bat for ourselves. Yeah. And then seeing your husband come in at the time of need and bat for you is like really reassuring that you married the right person.
Yeah.
And that like you do make a good team and he's thinking of you when you're not even thinking about him. Because I will admit, through IVF and infertility, my husband has been the last goddamn thing on my mind.
Yeah.
And he feels, and I think I'm the first thing on his mind. You know what I mean? Like him putting those needles in me was like such a triumph for him to overcome. Cause he has a huge phobia of needles and he like turned green his first injection. He was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I was like, buckle up, bitch. Like, you're doing every single one of these. And I remember waking up the first morning of IVF starting, like the first morning of stims. And I didn't sleep well the night before because you have to do it at 8 a.m. And like, you know, you're on this regimen and you have all these injections, you have to mix them a certain way. And I came downstairs and he had everything set up, everything mixed, everything sterilized. He even had like the camera prop thing up so we could videotape like our first injection. And I was like, holy fucking shit, I love you. Like, This is amazing. And so while it's hurted us physically, well, it's parted us physically. I feel like it's brought us together better as like friendship support, like not a romantic support. It's very like, hey man, like you're allowed to take a break
And you're even, allowed to walk away. He was anticipating your needs. Like, you know, before like to set up the camera. I mean, that seems like such a small thing, but like, that's something you would have had to do, right? And like,
he doesn't even have an Instagram. Like, this guy doesn't understand social media outside of Facebook Marketplace. Okay. Like, he thinks Craigslist is probably fucking so funny.
That is the worst part of social media.
Yeah. And that's like all he's got. And I think the only reason why he has a Facebook is because like we all were like, oh my God, if you have a college fucking email, you get to get a fucking Facebook. So we all got fucking Facebook. Yeah. And then now it's just like a great way for your great aunt from Texas to fucking send you fucking bullshit Trump shit.
Racist shit.
Yeah, a lot of racist fucking shit. That's true. I am now realizing that I got the time zones wrong. So I have got time. So I was going to ask you something else. What the fuck was I going to ask you? Oh. So something important that's going on that you and Monica have been talking about are the laws changing.
Yeah.
You had a very interesting experience with your latest DNC. Do you mind sharing that?
Yeah. Like, and to be honest, I didn't know that any of these things were interconnected. I really thought these abortion laws were strictly to like monitor when you could have an abortion and like, that's so controversial across the country that it's just like, let's fix that or whatever. But what's interesting is they're hiding a lot of things in these laws. So when we went in for our DNC, they made me fill out all this paperwork. So I filled it out and I went back up there and she handed me this clipboard. And on the front was this laminated piece of paper that said, please note what you are about to read is highly emotional. Please have a spouse fill out if you don't feel you are able. And I was like, what the hell? And so I took that off and like flipped it forward. And it was like this entire sheet of paper that was like, it asked for both of our names, my maiden name, our social security numbers, my mother's maiden name. And then it was like, please sign the following affidavit that you did not smoke or drink during this pregnancy. And please list the dates in which you got care for this pregnancy. And then it made me list all of my subsequent miscarriages that I had had. And I lost my fucking mind. I went up there and like, I think I wrote on the side, it was like, list the dates you like got care for this pregnancy, because I'm sitting here thinking like, I've done so much for this pregnancy. I flew to Michigan. I've been literally at the doctor twice a week for six weeks straight. And like, you want me to list all the dates that I got care for this pregnancy? And I put on the side, none of your fucking business. And I turned it in. And the lady was like, ma'am, I'm sorry, but you have to fill out this form in like totality. And I was like, no, I refuse. Like, I don't know who this is going to. Like, what is this for? And she was like, it's Fulton County. And I was like, what does that mean? And so I was like, I refuse to fill that out. Like, And so then this nurse comes out who's like, I've met her before. She's from New York. I lived in New York for 2 years. Like, we can go at, or 10 years. Like, I can go at it with you. Like, so she comes out really hot. She's like, I need to speak with you. And I'm like, okay. So she takes Alex and I into this like tiny room. And she's like, I want to let you know that unless you fill out this form, we will not be performing your DNC today. And I was like, what is this form for? And she said, this is for us to prove. Like, this is to prove to Fulton County that what we're doing today is not an abortion. And I was like, excuse me? And she was like, we need it to go. This will live on public record to prove that
public record.
So when you search our name, you can see that we've had miscarriages. Yeah. So public record that this was a consent to a DNC of removal of dead tissue, not an alive baby, was what I had to sign. And they would not go through with the DNC. And I guess the reason I just never had to sign this before is we had two failed DNCs, so they never actually worked. So, like, I guess I never had to fill out this form. And I mean, I was like shaking, and I, at that point, I just wanted it done. So I signed this form, and come to find out, it's actually a part of these abortion laws that they are proving, making states prove that they are not, that, you know, healthcare professionals are not giving abortions. I mean, it's like very scary.
So is abortion illegal in Georgia?
No. Not yet. We have a potential heartbeat bill that is so scary, you guys. It literally states that if it passes, I will move out of the state if it passes. But if it passes, anyone who gets or gives an abortion can be charged with manslaughter, like literal manslaughter.
Oh my fucking God.
If you have a miscarriage, they have the right to investigate you for manslaughter. To prove that you did not cause the miscarriage.
If you have a fucking miscarriage?
Yeah. And so, yeah, like it's all these guys who know no difference
fucking, between abortion fucking and nothing. Miscarriage. That is
and
disgusting.
It's like disgusting. Disgusting.
Is this similar to, so remember Alabama 2 years ago was trying some fucking podunk shit? Is this the same kind of, yeah.
It's the same thing. You know, here I am in Georgia. I'm so proud of us for going blue and electing, you know, Democratic, you know. Senate holders or whatever, but we still have this like underlying heartbeat bill that keeps like creeping.
We need to have like a women's strike. Like we just all don't go to work. And it's like, do you know how much we contribute to the economy?
We don't go to work. And like people don't understand the tech bill going through is really scary because it opens the door.
What'd you say? We were breaking up, Corey, and all I heard was blowjob, and I appreciate it.
I said we don't go to work, and we don't do blowjobs, and we don't have sex with anybody. We literally just lock ourselves in a room.
Strip clubs shut down.
No strip clubs.
Yeah.
No prostitutes.
No strip clubs. No Hooters.
No Hooters.
Can you?
Uh-uh.
No tilted kilt.
And then all the female-owned businesses just shut the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like, which are pretty, you know. Pretty substantial. We could have our queer allies support us. You know, there's a lot of gay-owned businesses, queer-owned businesses. Anyways, that's absolutely fucking absurd. And the thing that makes me the most angry is I just read this article about a recent congressman who was from Texas, who is also Texas is also trying to pass the same shit, right?
They did pass it. They did pass it. And it's opening the door for the rest to pass. Yeah,
great. Fuck you, Texas. Eat a fucking dick, Texas. Where you could literally get arrested for having more than six dildos, which I think is fucking hilarious. Like, yeah. Corey would definitely be locked the fuck up. Hey-o! But what I saw in that is that one of the congressmen or whatever, some fucking political player, actually paid for his mistress's abortion within that time frame, and he advocated for passing the heartbeat bill.
Stop it.
So no, dude, I'll fucking send it to you. I need to find this. I read it and I saw the highlight and I was like, I don't even want to read this because I will get so fucking angry that I'm going to like, honestly, we'll stage a coup. Like I can't. My mom is very pro-life and like I was raised in this very pro-life environment. And I think there's a lot of confusion about what these abortion laws and the implications of them have. Yeah. Because I know in Alabama, when they were trying to pass that shit, if you went across state lines to get that abortion, you will still be held to manslaughter.
Yes.
And it is like, wait, what? So essentially what you're doing is the people that are getting abortions are young women that don't have access to appropriate healthcare. Let's just like make that assumption right now. And they can't fucking move out of your state.
Right.
So then you're just going to put, because I mean, they don't have the fucking money to uproot their lives to fucking move. So then you're going to put an additional cost to them in getting this abortion and then possibly putting in our prison system, which is already the largest prison system of all the developed countries. Like I'm pretty sure combined is where we're at right now. And it's like, how broken is this? Like,
it's awful.
If I was in your position and that happened to me, I would cut a fucking bitch. And the thing
what can you do though? You know what I mean? I felt so desperate because I am like, I will fight. Like, I'm not signing this. But at the end of the day, they're like, well, then we're not going to give you a DNC. And it's like, I want this nightmare over. So like, I literally had no other choice. I felt so helpless in the situation. Like,
it's probably so insanely violated.
Insanely yep. violated. Like, how dare you? And like, the fact that they acknowledged it by putting that stupid laminated sheet on the front, like, in hindsight, I was like, that is just so
funny. You fucking bastards. Yeah. Fucking say it to my goddamn face.
Yeah.
Fucking level with me that this is bullshit. Time.
Yeah. And don't talk to me like I'm stupid when I don't want to sign this form with no fucking explanation. And when I tell you I'm not signing it because I don't know what it is, don't get an attitude with me and call me into another room. Tell me right here, what is this form you're wanting me to sign? Why am I giving you all of this information? That's important. Like,
yeah. And yeah. the fact that it's public record, are you fucking kidding? Like, this makes me real angry.
Yeah.
Colorado will never pass such a thing because there are way too many aggressive feminists out here that like to just, I don't know, fuck shit up. I hope, or else I'll just become
sometimes I aggressive. Sometimes I forget feminist. I live in Georgia and I'm like, wait, what? And then I'm like, oh, right. I'm not in New York.
Yeah. Which sucks. Like, I know so many people that live in Texas and live in Austin. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's because that's like the bluest part of all yeah. of fucking Texas. And even Austin has been passing bullshit homeless laws. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you're not supporting women. You're not supporting women's health. These issues aren't covered. We don't have adequate evaluation of whether or not we can carry a child when we're going in for these preconception appointments, which are covered by health insurance. Like, it's just, I'm not understanding the links of how you can link these things together. And if another issue is, if you have, like, I know more women than I wish I did that had late term abortions
yeah.
because their baby had a heart defect and they would not live and it was compromising the mother's health. And so what this heartbeat law is telling you is that that's just not allowed.
It's not allowed. Yeah. You would have to deliver. Can you imagine like the actual trauma of like, not only you, the baby, like, I mean, none of it makes any sense. None of it is thought through. None of it is informed. It's literally awful.
Well, and then what does this mean for, we're dealing with such profound fertility issues as it is, right? And I'm not just saying us, I'm meaning like the reproductive age and people having children. This is just perpetuating a whole offshoot of another problem of we're vessels. We're not humans. Like, we don't have liberty to choose when, and we don't even do that when you're having like a 20 week fucking like abortion because your baby is fucking compromising your health. That's because you're saving you as the parasite's host.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just don't fucking get it. And to know that women could die from this or will be.
I would love to know what it means for ectopic pregnancies too, as somebody who has had two,
yeah.
that has had two viable pregnancies, except for the fact that they're in my fallopian tube, which would cause me to bleed out and die.
Yeah. So, I was literally talking to someone about that the other day. Like, and there's no mention of that, right? Because like, it's a viable pregnancy, but like not in the space, and it could kill you. And it's like, there's no mention of that. There's no, so like you, they don't even think about those things. And it's just, it's so misinformed. And it's definitely they all just have like
penises.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
White, floppy, Viagra filled penises.
Yes.
Y'all, we're like legit in Handmaid's Tale.
I know. I'm like having a hard time like even watching this season because I'm just like, I don't know, like shit's just scary. Like,
and it is scary.
How do you fix it? Like, how do you like, yeah, we can all like raise it up on social media. We can all donate to these places, but it's like at the end of the day, what's the answer to like making people understand that like they're severely undereducated about like what they're actually putting out into the world? Like, I don't know the answer.
I mean, honestly, I just come down to murder. Like, we just hire some sniper and we just have him take out all these fucking white middle-aged men. Honey, have you shot a gun, Corey?
You're not. Shot a paintball gun.
Yeah.
But I can stab somebody.
Hey, I know who we hire. We hire Wayne. He's got Wayne would fucking love that. He's probably Wayne's my neighbor.
Listening to this right now on this fucking surveillance shit he has all around your house without you.
All over his house.
And he's probably locking and loading. He's like, okay, let's do it.
Oh, he'd be so fucking down. I mean, he has got really nothing to live for at this point. Like, he honestly just lives for our conversations and his tomato plants and guns.
And his dog.
And his dog, Bear. Yeah, she's a cute dog. Well, I think this is really important, and I haven't been paying any fucking attention to it. And I wish that there was more information about it. And I honestly don't know what it is besides electing the right leaders.
Yeah.
And that's at a cadence where, you know, we don't have, it's not agile. And that's really terrifying. But it really is, at the end of the day, being informed about what's going on in your state and getting out and fucking voting and ensuring that you are participating in the democratic process of electing these officials that are supposed to represent your fucking views. Right. And the fact that I'm sure, like everywhere else in the fucking world, women make up 51% to 52% of the population in Georgia, I'm fucking sure. This shouldn't be an issue, but the thing that sucks is it comes down to religion. And there are people that, like my mom, who is a one issue voter, that is like, I can't vote against this. And it's like, but you fucking can.
Yes, you can.
Because this is fucking wrong.
Right.
And men should not be able to tell us what we can do with our bodies. And I have friends that are pro-life that like, we just don't talk about this.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I should have the autonomy to choose what I do with my fucking body. Right. And if you aren't having to birth it, you don't have a fucking opinion.
Yeah. If you don't agree with it, don't do it.
Exactly.
It's so simple.
Yeah. Like, if you think you're going to go to hell for it, then don't do it. I'll gladly go to hell, but you have great margaritas. Right. But like, you know, yeah, it should be up to you and it shouldn't be based in religion. Our law, there should be a separation of church and state. And this is where that like hugs that gray area where congressmen get to tie on whoever legislative writers get to tie on whatever they fucking want onto these bills and have them pass. And it's like, all right, no, this is actually a huge fucking problem. And I'm sorry. Colorado's here. Yeah. We have a little bit of red out in the plains, but we're pretty fucking blue everywhere else.
We can get rid of that.
Love it.
And also, we would just say, like, you know how many women here are growers? We'll just stop growing weed and your economy will crash.
Solved.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we need to find someone, some woman that's like, oh, actually, I'm in charge of all alcohol and weed sales for the nation. And that would shut fucking down if you pass this goddamn law. We need fucking Oprah goddamn Winfrey. Like, we need some people out there talking about this, but I don't watch TV like that. I watch like Handmaid's Tale and think that it's reality. And it kind of is. So we're getting to the point where we start talking about our non-fertility related obsessions. These can be fucking anything. Literally. Anything you want to talk about. Anything you're like really just fucking jazzed about right now. And because she hasn't gone first in a while, I'm going to ask Corey what her non-fertility related obsessions
are. Over you.
You love me.
I'm really obsessed with candy. I have a problem with candy lately. Gummy candies. Not weed gummies, just like child gummies. I found these. Oh my God. The drunks are home.
Is that Sarah?
No, that's my husband and his friend. So if y'all hear yelling, I'm so sorry. But I found these gummy snakes. They're called twin snakes. And one of them is sweet and one of them is sour. And they're stuck together.
I love those.
Wait, I don't know these things.
They're so good.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're so good.
Oh my God.
What's yours, Kaylee?
Is Corey going to show us his butt? Hey, Corey.
Okay.
Out.
What are you eating, kitty cat?
Pringles.
Oh, what a good boy. My obsession is my fucking paddleboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
So my sister and I are both, we grew up like 2 miles from the beach, and the beach was like part of our lives. Like we were all swimming sports, water polo, and like beach every day. And being landlocked kind of sucks when you're used to the water being your therapy. So my husband is too skinny to deal with Colorado water sources. Like it's, I'll get into a little bit of a story, but anyways, we bought these paddle boards and we've been going paddle boarding every weekend. And I went paddle boarding last night and it's just been really nice to go. But we ate mushrooms and went paddle boarding on Sunday and we got stuck in a rainstorm that quickly shifted to a hailstorm. And I'm like in the peak of my mushroom experience. And I'm like, I watch a lot of like Shouldn't Be Alive and like Survivor and Alone and Naked and Afraid and all this shit. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna make sure I can put shelter with my fucking paddleboard. So I like start digging into the side of this fucking hill and like put this paddleboard up and I like nestle underneath it. And it starts hailing and my sister was like, actually, I think you should come out. And she's on mushrooms just laughing, but she's like, I'm so cold, I can't move. Meanwhile, Lee is dripping wet and he's shivering. And I was like, started giving us survival ratings. And of course I won, but Lee just does not have the thermal capacity to really survive any sort of situation. He just got way too fucking cold. And so I had to like paddle our shit in the rain back to the car as he ran to the car because he was... he couldn't risk falling in the water. So yeah, that's my current obsession. Yeah. What's yours, Emily?
Oh my God. This is going to sound so bad, but I'm like really obsessed with like alcohol lately. Like, I went so long not drinking that like now I'm like,
yeah,
like I'm just like bring new, like, I don't like tequila, but then we went to Mexico and now I'm finally like tequila drinks that I like. And like, I'm working on a lot of bourbon projects right now. So I'm finding like a lot of bourbon drinks that I like. And I'm like always exploring new wines. I mean, I know that's terrible, but like,
no, it's not.
I haven't drank in a while. So it was like,
oh no, it's a pleasure.
Good with, for you. Like alcohol, like not in a bad way, but like figuring out like new things you can pair and like learning more about it and stuff like that. That's
it's cool. Your coping mechanism, but you're also making it like artsy and fun. I think that's brilliant.
Like I'm like, where can we go new in the you know our neighborhood and like try all of their drinks and like,
oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah. That's one thing that sucks about my husband being sober is like he doesn't drink, but my sister's a bartender, and so I'm like, we should go on like a cocktail kind of bike ride situation because there's so many holes in the walls that are like experimenting with cocktails.
Right.
But what's your favorite tequila drink so far?
I've been drinking, like last night we had this drink that was like strawberry puree with jalapenos and like this tequila we got in Mexico. It was so good. It was so delicious. Yes.
Well, I like that. I think that's a great non-fertility related obsession. And it's the exact opposite of what you're allowed to do when you're doing all this fertility bullshit. So I like that you're really leaning into that right now.
Yeah, it like reminds me of travel somehow when like we can't travel.
Yeah.
Well, this is from here and that'll remind me of that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's nothing like when you first land in a new place and you go and you get a goddamn cocktail.
Right.
I mean, every time, every time.
Every time. And it'll forever remind you of like that place when you drink it. It's kind of like,
yeah. And you're not talking. You're just like absorbing everything around you and you're people watching and you're just like, this is fucking, I feel like I need a cigarette and like, just like fucking chill here for a long time.
I'll never forget. My husband and I went to a music festival in Madrid. Cause like my favorite artist was playing. So we went for like a long weekend and like, we were sitting at this like little cafe and people were drinking this red drink. And I was like, oh, what is that? And the guy looked at me like I was just stupid. And he was like, it's an Aperol spritz.
Yum. But now, I was going to say,
they've become so popular, but every time I drink them, like I just remember that time that we were in Barcelona or Madrid, wherever the hell it was. But
that's
like
my mom. My mom didn't discover them until she just went to Italy for her 60th birthday. And she's like, do you know Aperol Spritz? And I was like, I worked at the little Nell in Aspen. Of course I know a goddamn Aperol Spritz.
So good.
But it's amazing. And I also think like making it enjoyable, we've kind of gotten to this point where like right now I don't like this truly, but I'm drinking it. because it's lower calorie, it's lower carb, but it tastes like fucking aspartame. Like it's just, it doesn't taste great. And there's something about like the creativity and pleasure when you like craft something that you want to drink. And
that is so true.
You want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. And you like genuinely enjoy it. And like, it's not giving up anything, you know? Yeah. Like,
yeah. Just like my only thing is I'm like, okay, I just won't binge it. Like I can have one. That's the one thing. I had a tiki drink last weekend with my sister. We went and got these big rum drinks after we drank like Truly's all fucking day. Actually, we got something else called a smash that's way better than Truly. And it's the same calories and carbs and whatever. But anyways, not that that matters. So we're drinking it and the next day I have like the worst acid reflux from the rum. And I was just like, God fucking damn it. Like I can't win ever. But there is a tiki bar. If you ever come to Boulder, Colorado, they have a tiki bar with the most ridiculous tiki like glasses. And like, some of it you drink out of a shell. Like it's just absolutely extra next level. Crazy shit. Yeah, it's pretty
fun. I'm going to make it to Colorado. I've got friends in Denver and then we'll make it to Boulder and we're going to have like so much fun that it's going to be like blackout.
And and then we're going to plan our Vegas trip.
Yes. Yep, and then we're going to plan our Vegas trip.
And then we're going to take over the world.
Oh my God, perfect cadence of events.
Free abortions for everyone. All right, well, Emily, thanks for coming on. Do you want to tell anyone where to find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, I'm at womanhood_102 because there's so many things we didn't know about being a woman. So that's why I named it that.
I love it. That's great. Well,
this was so fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, and keep us posted on Durbala shit.
Yeah,
all right, bye y'all.
Bye.